We're back doing Trail Talk. As you can tell, there is something different. It is me being in the driver's seat this time. We're here with Derek from Blanco Bronco. They're having some vehicle troubles, and so we're riding around in Gertie today. What hasn't changed is Cardo's still providing the audio, and you can still follow along on Onyx, so go check it out. Anyways, Derek, Mr. Blanco Bronco himself.
Well, how's it going? It's good to be back in Sand Hollow. It's been too long.
Yes, sir. It has been. You guys, if, for those that don't know, Derek's out of Idaho. He comes down a lot. We hang out a lot when he comes down. I still need to get up to Idaho. But when he does come down, we like to get together and, you know, I follow him around the same way I follow the Jeeps around type of thing.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. We're just in a Bronco.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
There again, up in Idaho, we got snow right now, so T-shirt weather, this is awesome.
Yeah, no thank you. I'm a hard pass on the snow stuff.
Yeah.
We're also on Ziploc Gulch, so for those following along, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, I'm excited about this.
This is your first time on it, right?
It is, yeah. Yep. I won't lie, the name of this trail has always scared me, so I'm excited to see what it's about. Not in my vehicle on my dime, you know.
Yeah. I gotta ask, how are you on your dime? How are you feeling right now? Because I will tell you, from the Trail Talk episodes I've done, sitting in your seat, yep, it is harder to be a passenger than it is to drive.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Ah, dude, I feel great. I've been in the goon buggy plenty of times, and yeah, so it's almost like home, but it's just not a Bronco.
Yeah. Well, that's good, because like I say, when I get in the Jeeps and stuff, it's a little bit like, for me, the difference is, yeah, exactly. It's taller in the Bronco. When right. We did the shoot and I jumped in, yep, the shoot in the Bronco with you, I told you, I feel weird because I'm taller. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. Anyways, that's, yeah, as long as you're feeling comfortable, we're doing good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, this is awesome. I'm excited. Like I say, just to get out and see something different, you know. Unfortunately, when we do come down here, we kind of do the same old, usually every now and again. So it's nice, yeah, to actually see more of what Hurricane has to offer.
Oh, yeah. We got a lot going on. But, so it's unfortunate. The Blanco is down right now.
It is.
Do you want to talk about that at all, or is it still soft?
Well, you know, it's frustrating.
Right.
So, if you know Broncos, they've got IFS suspension, you know, just like the side by side.
Yep.
And so you've got this little differential in there, and when you add bigger tires to a little differential, that ring and pinion end up just getting a little bit smaller each time. So we finally upgraded to 37s on the Bronco, and now we broke the differential. The frustrating part is not so much that we broke, but this is the second differential the Broncos had. So,
sorry, we're sliding a little bit, guys.
Yeah.
For those just listening, we are on trail, so you might hear some weird noises.
It's great. But the Bronco, the first differential made it to 50,000 miles. And I know that might be hard to swallow that my Bronco's got now 65,000 miles on it, but we use it. We enjoy it.
I was going to say, people that just drive on the street, you don't even know. Like, it's not, yeah, the same. If you've never engaged four-wheel drive, be quiet.
Yeah. So our first differential made it 50,000 miles, and it got replaced. And now this new one only made it 15, and it's like, well, that sucks. And now that the Broncos hit over 60,000 miles, well, everything's out of warranty. So
yeah,
now I'm at the crossroads of, is it time to upgrade the front differential and build it stronger and, you know, bigger axles and things of the nature? Or do we just continue to stay with stock stuff that is obviously proven to break? So I don't know exactly what I'm going to do yet, but here's the thing. I'm 6 hours from home, so I for sure have to pull out the CV axles and the front driveline to just get home. Yeah. So tomorrow night, we're going to be wrenching on the Bronco.
Yeah, which totally unrelated. Well, not totally unrelated, but unrelated to the podcast. You guys are welcome to come over to the garage if you want.
Oh, okay. Cool.
if you're like, dude, it's late, I can't see.
Yeah.
Anyways, right, back to the podcast side of things.
I'd love to take you up on that. The issue there is I don't think it would make it 10 feet out of the driveway.
Yeah, that's so, a good point.
Where she sits is where it's going to have to be taken apart.
Gotcha. So you went to 37s. Was that strictly for the SEMA build? Because for those who haven't paid attention,
well,
You guys just went to SEMA with Armadillo Designs.
It was awesome.
Yeah. That's so crazy.
It's been a long time coming. Most everybody gets their Bronco, immediately takes off the stock 35s, you know, that aren't really 35s, and swaps wheel and tire package, goes to 37s and some cool rim. Well, I've decided with our YouTube channel, I wanted to show more of like a realistic type build in the aspect of I've got a wife and kids, I work a 9-to-5 job, and I just don't have the funds to do all the crazy cool stuff immediately. So we're driving up to a wall. This is awesome. And we're going to go up that?
We're going to try like hell.
Here we go. That's so cool. So
that's one advantage the side-by-sides have over the bigger rigs is low center of gravity, big walls, as long as you can make the breakover at the top, which this one we apparently can't.
That's awesome.
Then they're good.
Yeah. So you just shift over a little bit.
Yeah, we'll just come over here. But anyways, you went to 35s because that's realistic.
Well, yeah. So we stayed on the stock wheel forever. Ford had a factory beadlock capable wheel. Well,
right.
I like beadlocks. I think they're, you know, a good piece to have for an off-road rig. So we bought the Ford Performance beadlock rings. And I upgraded to a true 35-inch tire and beadlocked it. We ran that forever. And then when the SEMA opportunity presented itself, it's SEMA. You got to get some shiny stuff on the thing. And so basically, we restored a two-year-old vehicle to take to SEMA.
Restored a two-year vehicle. Okay. I'm sorry. That's the way you phrase that. Okay.
As you know, we use our Bronco. It was far from perfect.
Of course, yeah.
The interior was starting to wear out. There was so much sand in the carpet that, you know, it would have took a whole pocket of quarters to go and, you know, get the shot back at the car wash to get all that out
of
there.
In the beginning of the day and you come home at night like a 9-to-5.
Exactly, yeah. So it was just easier. We quite literally ended up doing a full interior in the Bronco. Went to 37s, upgraded a little bit of, you know, under the Bronco protection skid plates, and, you know, just kind of made it a show vehicle. Did a fun haver body kit on it. And then, of course, the Armadillo top. If you don't know Broncos, the factory soft tops absolutely suck. But then
is that what you had as a soft top? Or
no, I had a hard top. Yeah, okay. Had a hard top, but also the factory hard tops, they weren't very quiet driving down the highway. So ultimately, it is an upgrade to go with the Armadillo top because they're all aluminum construction. So you're gaining a quieter ride going down the road, but you're also still retaining the features that Ford provided with the Bronco in the aspect of having the open air experience because the roof panels still come off and things like that. So that's the booth we were in. So that was the crown jewel, as I like to call it, for the SEMA build. But yeah, so 37s came along with that just because with the Fun Haver body kit, we had to fill that big wheel well that we just created.
I was going to say, all of a sudden your 35s look small get 2.5 inches extra of wheel well.
Yep. So that's when we upgraded. And, you know, I've always jokingly said to all my friends in the Bronco world, as soon as you upgrade to 37s, you're breaking. It's just almost been a trend. I broke. Yeah, I upgraded 37s and now I broke. So is that why I broke? I don't know. But I think it's definitely got a factor in it. So
yeah.
Here we are at a wall again.
Yeah, we're not actually going to drive this. So this is actually Derek's first time on Sliplock. And so being as it's only us, there is other people out here, but like not on the trail we're on. We're not going to tackle this one just because it can get squirrely. You know, him going to 37s and things break. I just went to 35s. I don't want things to break. But I wanted him to come see this.
That's impressive. Like, that's a normal obstacle for Sliplock.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the more well-known ones.
Okay.
Matt's Off-Road Recovery has a lot of videos on it. They like this trail. But anyways, that's why we're turning around and going back up the hill now.
This is awesome.
So you went to SEMA with Armadillo Designs, which I'll be honest, you are clearly very embedded in the Bronco world, and I am not. But I know who Armadillo Designs are, and that's probably by dint of knowing you.
Yeah.
But they look freaking sweet. And I've tried to convince everybody I know that has a Bronco to, like, you should go get one of these. I've seen them in person. They're pretty wild.
It's absolutely worth every penny that it is to upgrade to it. And that's simply what it is. It's an upgrade. You know, if you've, even if it's just your grocery getter and you're driving it down the highway, taking your family, you know, cross country, whatever it may be, the factory tops just don't do the Bronco justice. You know, when you're literally sitting side by side and you can't hear each other talking, the Armadillo top immediately changes that.
You're like, dang, why are we going to side-by-side going down the freeway? Can't hear anything.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I need some Ricardo headphones just for my Bronco.
Yeah, there you go, just to go to the store.
Yeah, exactly.
So would you'd say, well, let me rephrase that. I think I know your answer, but what was your... Because you got... Not only did you go with Armadillo, you got a bunch of other people to get their stuff on your Bronco. What was your favorite, or maybe the most surprising, like, thing that you're like, hey, I didn't know that this was that cool. I knew we wanted it, but then you got it installed and you're like, okay, we should have done this like ages ago.
Well, all of it's awesome. The sponsors that came together to put the whole thing together, I mean, we knocked it out of the park. The biggest upgrade I think that I love the most is the interior. Let's face it, you're in your vehicle more times, you know, than you're outside of it. So having an interior that's custom is really cool. So, you know, we got cat skins leather in the Bronco. We were able to change it from the factory, you know, black and tan, which it was leather, so it was a nice interior package. But to be able to upgrade it after, at that time, we had, you know, about 55,000 miles on the Bronco. So again, it's been used. The kids, you know, eating in the back dropping
in the back of a vehicle are, if you don't know, that is harder than like wheeling on a vehicle.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The interiors just get slashed.
Yeah.
Like just unbearable.
So by doing the interior and upgrading all that, it made it feel like just an entirely different Bronco. We were able to do some custom paint work on the dash, and a local company to me, we did some hydro dipping on the actual dash panel itself. And what wins car shows more than anything but carbon fiber? So I'm on a not carbon fiber budget. So we did hydro dipped carbon fiber, and we made it red. So it turned out pretty cool. Hydro dipping, if you don't know what that is, as long as something is able to get wet, essentially dipped in water, you can add this film that will coat it, and you can do almost any design. If you can bring it out of your head and put it into a program, it prints it on a vinyl-like material, and then you dip it right in it. And you actually end up bodyworking the whole entire dash. And, you know, it actually
Did they
looks,
really?
Yeah, it looks really sweet.
They, like, reformed? I didn't notice. They reformed it and stuff, or...
Well, so it holds the same form, but the factory dash had like a texture in it. And so to get the hydro dipping to lay right, they sanded the entire dash and got it all smooth and the pits and stuff out of it that were there from the factory. And so it looks, I mean, just like it's, you know, painted. It looks like legitimate carbon fiber, but it's just hydro dipped.
Yeah, I've seen it, and it looks really good.
So, but yeah, I would say out of everything, that's my favorite upgrade because it brought just a different feel to the Bronco. But one thing that's like an off-road piece or tool that we have in there now is that's my favorite is our rugged radio. So having an onboard mounted radio system is worth every single penny it costs. And that was one of the things that I've always wanted to do, and we're sponsored by them, but it wasn't a sponsored part, like we got it for just nothing. And I'm okay with that because it's one of those that's a tool that at some point potentially your life could depend on. If you're out stuck somewhere or in a bad situation, if you can get a radio signal out for help, you know, that piece is worth every penny that it costs. So off-road component that is one of my favorites is our onboard radio system now.
Okay. So, are you ready for the next question? It's going to... Yeah. You can choose to not answer this, is what I'll say. What's the thing that you're like, okay, we got this, and it's kind of like, it's fine, but like, maybe not. Maybe shouldn't have done that. Maybe it was a design choice. You're like, okay, I shouldn't have. I wish I'd have gone a different direction.
Okay. So I'll gladly answer it, but it's okay. With a caveat.
Okay.
So the one thing that I just didn't want to do on the Bronco, because it wasn't the vision I had in my head. What I want the Bronco to look like with the body kit that we have is kind of like a desert racer, rock crawler.
Yeah, with the Fun Haver body kit. It looks sweet.
Yeah. And so I wanted like a kind of a race car looking Bronco. And the one thing we did that took that away, in my opinion, is the Gobi roof rack.
Okay.
Now, the Gobi roof rack, if you've ever seen them, they're big on Jeeps, Toyotas, Broncos. They make quality stuff. The coating that they use on all their products is like actually a plastic type coating. And I believe they guarantee it for like 10 to 15 years. Even if you bought a vehicle that had the rack on it.
Oh, so it's like owner transferable. That's wild.
Yeah. Their stuff is top tier. If you're building an overland rig, I don't think there's anything better. There's so many different mounts for light bars, rotopacks, traction boards, rooftop tents.
Yeah. It's you have all the XK Glow stuff on it too, which you've put it in what you call party mode, and it's like it feels like there's a light every inch around that.
Well, yeah, there is. And there again, with all those light bars, I told Gobi, I was like, hey, this is what we're doing. I need more light bar mounts. And so they set us up with those as well. So that is why I say, if you're building an overland rig, the Gobi roof rack is superior. Like, in my opinion, it's the best rack on the market. If you're building a kind of race car type look vehicle, the Gobi roof rack is kind of like an exo cage. And it looks really cool for an overlander. But for the style I was going with, it just kind of takes that away from what I see. So that is the one thing that I wasn't thrilled about, but now seeing how quality of a product it is, I love to talk to people about it, at some point that will be one thing we do change, is we'll go back to our Badass Tents roof rack.
Okay.
It was a lower rack. It'll still allow me to mount everything with my lighting system. But it's lower, it's sleeker. I can still put my rooftop tent on it. And it's just less is more for
it's
what
just more the vision
do.
You had for it too.
Exactly. Okay. So that actually, I think that's worth talking about. When you do a SEMA build, people come out of the woodworks, you know, hey, put this on, you know, and just, you can get sponsors, but it may not necessarily be something that you really want to do. And I think it's okay to say no. And it's one of those that if you have something specific that you're building, just because you can get something for free doesn't mean it's what you actually want. So
it might just be something for free, and it might be free for a reason.
Right, exactly. Okay. And so, you know, again, the Gobi rack is awesome, but it was the one thing on the Bronco that I was like, I just don't know if I wanted it. But the cool part is Gobi stepped up and got a hold of Armadillo and said, hey, your whole entire hardtop is custom built for the Bronco. We want our roof rack to be custom built for your hardtop. So,
sweet. So they like
the Gobi roof rack is actually designed for the Armadillo top. And that's cool because they obviously seen the, you know, innovative design that Armadillo was working with and said, we can make our really highly quality, you know, product work with that as well.
Yeah.
And so that's why I was 100% on board with running it, especially for SEMA, was to show that feature off. Because it's one of those that companies like to sometimes, you know, oh, well, my idea is better than yours kind of thing.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to work together, it's more of like a, you know, battle of who thinks they're better.
Yeah, and you're like, this isn't the vision I had.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really work. Okay, we're going to bump this. I will tell you, I have not once made it up this obstacle.
Really?
But I've only ever had 32s, so.
Okay, well, hey, time for growth.
There it is.
Nice.
Wasn't even that bad. I'm going to stay 35s. Completely away from that one.
Yeah. Wait, you got to take your successes in little steps, too.
Yeah. I don't want to go immediately follow that with a big old L.
Right.
That's really cool that they work together with it and then they put it together. I don't know. Your SEMA build, I really enjoyed watching it. I enjoyed watching all your guys' stuff. I mean, that's pretty obvious. But how did you guys get going? Because did you start with a Bronco? You're like, okay, we have a Bronco. Now we should do a YouTube channel. Or were you trying to do the YouTube thing before? How did Bronco come to be? That's I guess what I'm trying to ask.
So I ordered the Bronco day one when it came out.
Okay. Really?
So if you were a Bronco type person and you've seen how Ford marketed the Bronco and that launch video that they did,
Ford did a good job.
I mean, that lit the fire for me, and I knew I had to have it. Bronco, for me, has just been over the years, just been kind of a vehicle that I've always gravitated towards. I liked it, but actually, I was into the International Scouts. And
okay,
so,
but those are very similar to the early Broncos.
Yeah.
And I know because I'm also into the early Broncos and the International Scouts.
Yeah, so growing up, I had, and I still have, a 64 International Scout 80, and it's the coolest thing. But when I found out what Bronco was, Scout, for me, just got a little less cool.
Oh, no, you can't do that. They're so much cooler. They're not so much cooler, but the uniqueness of, like, they only made them for a short time. They're more unique. I'll say that.
For
How
sure.
about that?
Absolutely. So Scouts are really cool until you figure out what a Bronco is, but Scout still has its place. So, and there's a reason I still have it. I have hopes and dreams of finishing it, but when I found out Bronco, that changed my personality a little bit. So when I seen that video come out from Ford marketing the new Bronco, it just lit that fire again. And so my wife has an 84 Bronco 2 that we've been starting to build.
Yeah, you guys got a whole gang of them now.
We got a handful. And so she had that in high school when we met. And so it was just really special to us. And I know a lot of people really dislike the Bronco 2, but sorry, it's part of the Bronco family. And fun fact, out of any generation of Bronco, Ford sold more Bronco 2s as a total unit number than any other generation. I think at some point the sixth generation Bronco will surpass that, but if you look at the numbers, Bronco 2 was the highest, you know, unit sold to date. So
that's crazy.
There's just little fact for the Bronco 2 haters.
They are so hated on right now, though.
Very.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. So she had that. So we ordered the Bronco, and my wife and I built it together. We literally sat down, got on Ford's website that kept crashing because so many people like myself were trying to build our Bronco.
All you fanboys were there. You were just slamming their servers.
Oh, man. Yeah, we did too. $100 down, and I can, you know, potentially get one of these things sold, you know.
Yeah.
So we built this Bronco, and our Bronco started out life as a four-door wild track Sasquatch package. So all that means is you're getting some Bilsteins, a little bit of lift, and in the Sasquatch package, the 35-inch tires. So it's really, now knowing, not that impressive. And I wish I would have...
I was going to say, it's just like everything, right? It's like the factory packages just don't compare to the aftermarket.
Exactly.
This is the reality. I think we're going to probably back out of this one there, buddy.
Yeah. A little tight V-notch.
Yeah.
There you go.
We'll try this one when we're not trying to record a video.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's more of a ascend it kind of one.
Yeah.
So anyway, started out four-door, wild track, and the colors that Ford offers are really cool. Well, the Velocity Blue caught our eye. And
wait a minute, your Bronco's white.
Yep. So we ordered a Velocity Blue wild track Sasquatch package Bronco. And at the time, we were living up in Spokane, Washington. And I commuted to work an hour and a half each way. And I had a lot of time to think. So 3 hours of driving every day. Well, raising kids and having a wife, going to school, and just life. Yeah. Things are expensive.
Correct.
And so it hit this point where I realized I can't buy this Bronco. I can't afford it. And so
the dream kind of got a little dampened.
And here again, if you know anything of Broncos, Ford did 100% just mess their own bed on the delivery of Bronco. I think they would have sold more if they would have waited to launch it until they actually had units ready to go. And okay. So upon that point, we waited 2 years for our Bronco.
So that gives you some time to get some stuff together, get your thing, plan for it. It's like a baby, but you get double the time.
Well, we should have, but, just as luck has it, kids get sick and doctor bills and all this stuff just, takes your priority. So when we got the email that the Bronco was actually finally going to get built, it was now 2022. And I wanted it so badly that I was like, how do I come up with a way to make this vehicle pay for itself?
Right.
And so I immediately went to the idea of YouTube. Everybody watches YouTube. You can make money on it. And it appears to be easy.
Yeah, that is a very, very good qualifier.
We both know it isn't easy. It looks easy, not at all. But it's not. I mean, in my case, I got started into YouTube by spending $65,000 on a vehicle.
That's a hefty capital expense to get your channel running.
Exactly. So if you want to think that it's, a cheap, easy endeavor, well, depending on what you're doing, it could be. But for what I had a vision of, no, it's very expensive. So I had 3 hours to think every day. And I kept telling them, ooh, that was a good one.
That's a side-by-side thing. That's just kind of how it works.
I kept telling myself, I was like, all right, to have a good YouTube channel, you've got to be entertaining. I can't watch it, it's not entertaining. You've also got to have a catchy name. And then I also feel like you need to leave people with a message. Because at the end of the day, we're all human. Whether I'm out here in my Bronco playing and you're out here in the goon buggy and I find you broken, I'm helping you. And I hope it's reciprocatable, if that's a word.
I think it
is. If you find me broken, you're going to help me or at least offer, And I hope that's what the off-road industry wants to be, strives to be. We're all out here doing the same thing, just a little bit different, You've just got a really cool built go-kart, and I got a really cool built mall crawler,
It's golf cart. It's golf cart. If we're going to insult me, do it properly. Monsters, Inc.
So I just got my brain turning. I'm like, what are we going to name the YouTube channel? And I kept going back to, I like watching Cletus McFarlane. He's one of my favorite YouTubers.
Yep.
His cars are characters. They're personalities, and he's telling their story.
Yeah.
So I decided I've got to tell the story of this Bronco from my perspective. And I kept trying to come up with creative names for a blue Bronco. That's very difficult. So then I started thinking, well, what if we just change the paint color? Maybe I can come up with a better name.
Wait a minute. So you really changed the color of your Bronco to... Because it is. Blanco Bronchio is catchier than anything I can think of off the top of my head right now that's blue. But I didn't know that you actually changed the name of... Or changed the color of your order based on the name. That's kind of cool. That's some dedication.
100%. So... I just couldn't come up with a good name. So I started, picking different paint colors in my head. what am I going to call the Bronco? And I couldn't come up with anything. You know, Ford, again, has some really cool colors, but it's one of those that it wasn't catchy. Nothing was hooking up,
right.
You know, making sense to me. Well, I thought back to it. Over the years, my wife and I, we've had white vehicles. Just so many white vehicles, you almost can't count. And I realized anything goes with white. If you have a white vehicle and you do black accents, it works. Or if you do red accents, it works. It works. So my wife is Puerto Rican. And so I know a little bit of Spanish, mainly bad words, but a little bit of Spanish. So I sat and thought about it, and I went, oh, it could be the Blanco Bronco.
Yeah.
And the more I kept saying it in my head, it's like when you name a baby. The name always at first is like, maybe it'll work. But then the more you say it, it's just normal.
Yeah, so, it's just like, oh, this is what it is now. Yeah.
Yeah. So I realized, I'm like, okay, that works. I really like that. It's catchy. It's easy to remember. Then I was like, what's going to be my message to people? What do I want to portray? Because ultimately, if you're watching a video of any caliber, you want to learn something. You want to have something that you walk away remembering. And so I decided that at the time, my kids and myself and my wife, we were just kind of sheltering ourselves, and we weren't really doing anything. We weren't getting out and adventuring and exploring. And I realized we were just sitting on the couch. And so that immediately became my slogan: get off your couch. It's time to create an adventure. And that can mean anything. My boys, they love going to the park. Going to the park, that's an adventure, you know, especially when you got three boys and it's like chasing cats.
Yeah.
You know, they just dart. So, you know, going out to, you know, the backyard and helping dad mow the lawn, that's an adventure. And so I realized maybe I've got something here. And then I decided, well, how do I make this vehicle pay for itself? That was my last thing.
Right.
And I thought, well, if I'm good at being on camera and I get this personality down and I'm true to who I am and, you know, this passion I have.
I want to stop you right there. He just said if he gets his personality down, I do want to say Derek on camera is the same Derek as Derek off camera. It's not some built up personality. Like every time we've interacted, you've been the exact same and it's exactly as you come across in your videos.
Well,
so sorry, I just didn't want people to get the wrong idea that you're like putting on some personality for YouTube.
Yeah. Well, I think there is a little bit of camera, you know, like mode that you kind of go into. But yeah, I worked in customer service going in and out of homes for 12 years. And when I was in front of my customer, I wanted to be honest. I wanted to be direct, but I wanted them to get their value's worth. And so it was easy. I had 12 years of practice. So when I got the YouTube channel started up, it just kind of started working. So after I got those three things down, I've got the name of the vehicle. I've got, the YouTube name because of the vehicle. And then I've got the slogan and an idea on how to make money. I called my dealer and I said, hey, is it too late to change the paint color? And they're like, no, we can change it any time.
Oh, for real? Cool. Even though they'd started on it, they were like, that's whatever?
Yeah. So I got the VIN number, but it was you could still change at that point.
Is there a, I don't want to distract too much, but I'm curious. Do you, like, is there a certain point where it's like, we got the VIN number, and now it's going through the assembly line? Or, like, at what point are they like, dude, the paint's been sprayed?
Right. I don't know that exactly. But if the dealer would have told me that it was too late, I was planning on ordering another Bronco because...
Oh, okay, yeah, because you'd already worked out the name and stuff.
Yeah, I just had this idea, and it sounded so good to me. And so when they said, yes, it's easy to change, I was like, great. So I changed the paint color, and the Bronco is on its way to be Oxford White instead of Velocity Blue. Well, this whole time, I didn't tell my wife any of this. We have we have a very open line of communication, but... As a provider, and I think, you know, you'd have the same ideas, you want to be able to do something for your family and have the confidence behind it. Well, yeah. At the time of buying the Bronco, I didn't have the confidence because I just knew that it was going to make our quality of life and our builds just so much tighter.
Yeah.
So I changed the paint color, and at that time, they emailed. Well, now I've got to talk to my wife about this crazy, outlandish, silly idea.
And you're like, oh, by the way, all this stuff that's been in my head for the last few weeks, you got to now put it out in the world to be accepted or not accepted by your wife.
Yeah. So I didn't get to my wife before she got the email.
And oh, no.
So she calls me. And we hadn't been really in love with our dealership as it was.
Okay.
But she calls me just hopping mad. She says, though she used some language I won't repeat, but she says, that dealership we're using, they screwed up our paint color and they're sending us a white Bronco and I can't believe it. She was
not
thrilled.
I could just see you going, oh yeah, those guys are the worst. I can't believe they did that. What the heck?
So I told her, I says, I'll be home. We'll talk about it over dinner. I got an idea. And she goes, oh, okay. You know, and I get home and I says, look, I says, if this Bronco is just going to cost us, I just don't think we can financially retain it. And she's like, I know. She says, but I really want it. And I says, so do I. I says, so I'm going to do what it takes to make this work. And so I pitched this crazy idea to her. I says, we're calling it the Blanco Bronco because of your Spanish background, you know, and our family's, you know, now what it is. And then also, I want to portray a message of let's get these kids out in beautiful places like this. Let them grow up around hard environments and fun environments and tough environments, because that's what off-roading really is. And she was immediately on board. But what she also didn't know was she now needed to become an editor. She also needed to help me understand the products that we were installing. And she had to keep everything in line because I'm not so organized like her. So out of everything, my wife takes care of our YouTube channel way more. Most of the times when people are messaging and we're talking, it's actually my wife. And it's not because I don't want to do that, but I'm kind of the personality on camera. She's there with me, but she enjoys the interaction. Not that I don't, but she enjoys coming to the events and interacting with everybody she's been talking to, and that's her trade-off. I'm on camera more than her, and then she's interacting a little more than me. But nevertheless, it's still, you know, ping-pong back and forth with that.
Yeah, well, it takes a team.
It does, yep. And there again, we just hit the ground running. We got the Bronco, and it finally showed up. At the time we were living in Spokane, we ordered the Bronco out of Soda Springs, Idaho, so about 10 hours away.
Just so you know, you bought the Bronco. I told you. I'm sorry. I keep derailing you, but I told you my brother bought the same Bronco.
Yeah.
You guys bought it from the same dealership.
Really?
Is what I'm realizing now. Yeah.
Really? I did not know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, because there's only one dealership in Soda Springs, right?
Yeah. Caribou. Well, at the time, it was John Adams is what it was when I bought it, but then it changed to Caribou. So
yeah, you guys bought the same Bronco from the same people.
That's hilarious. Maybe he got my blue one, but his is white, right?
Yeah, his is white too. It's identical to yours. It's a 22 Wild Track, same.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So
I got on an airplane from Spokane, and I flew down to Idaho, and I bought the thing and drove it home. So from the very first, it's kind of a big weave of a story. Our Bronco was doomed to have a lot of miles put on it. So with parts now starting to fail, well, it's just what it is because of the age and the mileage of the vehicle. So, but drove it home and immediately, I no more than pulled in the driveway and our three boys just lit up. They it's like seeing another, you know, sibling show up to the family, and it just felt right. And my wife was excited. They were super excited. The first thing we did, we pulled in the driveway, took the top off of it, threw it in the yard, and went and cruised the town like worth $1 million, you know?
Oh, of course. You got to. You have to.
Yep. Well, at that point, it did turn into, all right, we got to put our, you know, this idea where, you know, we've got to put it out there. And so that's where it became real. We took and recorded our first video. And I won't lie, it was a little bit of a clickbait title. You know, it was 2022, and I put on there that, you know, check out our 2023 Wild Track. And we did get some clicks and views on it, but the whole thing was just talking about the features of the Bronco. There was already a ton of videos out there. Realistically, I did miss the bandwagon for that style of a video, but it was just the first one we did. Now, after about 2.5, almost 3 years of doing this, I look back on that first video to remember how awkward I was on camera.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's totally different to be able to talk to the camera and treat it like it's a human being that you're literally in front of, you know?
Yeah.
So I look back on it sometimes to remember, all right, you know, I got to still just keep this to a really realistic level. If it's not entertaining, I don't want to watch it. So I try to just have fun content. And that's kind of a long-winded story of how the Bronco became to be. But now we're out here meeting guys like you. And, you know, instead of playing Broncos, we're playing side-by-sides. And, you know,
yeah, playing golf carts.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, where's the green?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So. Dude, well, that's awesome. Your story's awesome. Like I say, we another little side back. We met because I started talking trash.
Yeah.
Just so anyone doesn't know, I'm good at talking trash.
Yeah.
We met because I saw a video of him on the maze, and I basically said, why are you taking the bypass? The joke is, there is no bypass in that spot. Every single way out of that area is hard.
Yeah.
And ever since then, it was like, okay, well, you're coming down. We should definitely meet if I'm going to talk trash. And then now we just meet up every once in a while and play, you know, horses and golf carts.
Right, yeah. And to be fair, at that time, I didn't know what a bypass was. I was so new to off-roading, I was like, what's a bypass?
Yeah, what is this guy saying?
Right, yeah. So, but that's what's fun. You know, I've met so many great people. And honestly, that's what I cherish the most, you know. Even yet, my whole idea of the Bronco paying for itself, mm-hmm. we're still not there. But yeah. I've been able to look past that because of the friends and the, you know, now family that I've met along the way.
Yeah.
Man, it means something totally different versus just going out and, you know, doing our own thing. You know, going out and experiencing all sorts of different things is just awesome. So,
yeah. Well, dude, thanks for coming on. Thanks for talking to us. If people are watching me and somehow not knowing what Derek and Monica are doing, where can they find you?
We are Blanco Bronco Adventures on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, all the regular social media spots. And we, if you want to find us, we're probably going to be out Sand Hollow way. It's just too good not to be here. So
yeah.
you'll bump into us, I'm sure.
Right on, man. Thanks for coming out, dude.
Appreciate it.